Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM.
Alrighty, so time is exactly 8:32 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. A very, very good morning to you. Hope and pray that you have arrived safely at your destination. And yeah, you're checked in, man, and you're just ready to have yourself a fantastic day. We did share with you just a little bit earlier on that we're going to be having a conversation with the Dr. Aminata Salah. How are you feeling today, Doctor?
I'm feeling very well, thank you.
You feel good?
Yes,
I am.
I'm excited to be here.
All right, so happy to have you here. So we are going to be having a conversation pertaining to Brain Awareness Week in Namibia, right?
Yes.
And I'm so intrigued, honestly. Right now, I'm going to just download as much as I can from you and learn as much as I can from you. But before we get into that, can you maybe just tell us why you're so passionate about what you do? Because you are a neurosurgeon by profession, right?
Yes, I am.
Yes, yes.
Mm. So I'm a neurosurgeon and a neuroscientist. I'm interested in Brain Awareness Week and the goings on about Brain Awareness Week, because it's one thing to be locked up in a theater or in clinic, mm-hmm. and it's another thing to get the public to understand what's going on and understanding the brain that they carry,
mm-hmm.
and to know that there are things that emanate from there that they should be aware of,
mm.
and they also need to know that they need to take care of their brain so that it can serve them well for the long run.
Mm. Yeah. So what would you say is one of the best ways on how we can take care of our brains? And I'm only asking this question because I got a little problem. Maybe you can help me. So I'm an overthinker.
Mm.
Right? Mm. This brain, I just feel like it just never turns off. I feel like when it does turn off is when I crash. Mm. Like you said, I had a little bit of an episode. I just passed out at the office. Mm. I don't know what was going on with me. Like, I'm just so tired, but it's burnout, I know.
Mm.
But what would you say is one of the best ways on how we can just be a little bit more gentle and nurturing to our brain?
Well, it starts from the very beginning, what you eat.
Mm.
Because food is medicine.
Yes, you have to eat
the right things.
Mm.
And that can affect your energy. It can affect everything about your brain. Your brain is literally made up primarily of water and fatty substances.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to make sure that you have the right things in your brain.
Mm.
You also want to make sure you get enough physical activity.
Yeah.
You want to get enough exercise to burn off the energy you have and to be able to focus.
Mm.
And it sounds like you need to do a lot of exercise so that you can focus and get rid of all that energy. And
yes, I do.
So that's one of the ways that you need to do.
All right.
So
speaking specifically about Brain Awareness Week in Namibia, personally, I am here to learn, but I've never heard of it, right?
Mm.
Or perhaps it's something that, you know, like on international platforms, they do have these conversations. But is it the first that we're actually commemorating this in Namibia?
Mm, it is the first time. So Brain Awareness Week has been happening everywhere, and I've been privy to it all along.
Okay.
Coming back home to Namibia since December 2023, I've had a plan to join the rest of the world in Brain Awareness Week.
Mm.
So the International Brain Research Organization and the Dana Alliance Foundation, they put this on and encouraged the entire world as part of the Global Education Initiative for people to just get more aware of their brains and to create links between neuroscience and society.
Uh-huh.
For society to understand what it is that all these scientists are doing. They're not locked up in their ivory towers.
Yeah.
And to understand how it really directly affects them. Mm. And that they have a say in these matters.
Mm.
So, for example, in issues of neuroethics, which is a big field.
Mm-hmm.
It's not here, but we literally interact with that issue on a daily basis.
Mm.
What information is your smartphone taking from you? Is anything going on? Is there anything that's being collected? Have you given your okay, for instance?
Mm-hmm.
Your cell phones, there are different things going on when you're using your biometrics. All of this neuroethics involved in many arenas that we need to get on the train of these subjects. We can't be left out because we are going to be affected. You've heard of people being having brain chips. Chips put into their brains.
Their brains, yes,
and being affected. We need to know, and these things are on their way, they're coming in. Some of these things are actually treatments. So we need to know, do we want them, do we not want them, etc. Yeah, so Brain Awareness Week is, again, especially for the public to understand policies and help to generate policies that protect them or advance science around the brain. We'd like to involve kids and teenagers and the youth to understand about brain health and all the components of a healthy brain, and also to know what types of illnesses can happen in the brain, and also to understand neurodiversity.
Yeah.
So it is just to make sure that everything is not so mysterious,
but that's something to be scared of.
No.
Yeah.
We just need to understand. And once you understand, then you lose the fear.
Because then you're also well informed, or you start to inform yourself on certain matters. Absolutely. Now, speaking of which, I know that you just mentioned illnesses of the brain. Can you break that down for us a little bit? Perhaps just ones that we could be on the lookout for.
Okay. So there are different types of illnesses. Of course, there are the infectious ones. Then you have some that are hereditary. Okay. And some that are combined. Some are nutritional, some are combined. And so you can also have traumatic illnesses, so to speak. They're not illnesses. They come from trauma, but then they can result in an illness. So those are some of the main ones. With those, for example, to give you one that people find very mysterious is epilepsy. There's epilepsy, and there's all sorts of issues that come from that. People, you know, accusing others of putting spells on them, or people being possessed by something. When it's actually an organic illness, you can hit your head and start having convulsions or fits over time.
And it lasts you...
Yes, it can be there your whole life.
The whole life,
Because what happens is you get an injury to the brain, and you can have a scar that forms in a particular place. And we can almost tell where the scar is based on how the fit is manifesting, right? And for instance, you can also have malaria or have an infection, a brain infection, that can then also create its own scar, and that can also lead to epilepsy. So sessions of fitting, and then people misinterpret that and think all sorts of things. And so we want to demystify these things, and there are now even treatments that involve surgery, that involve neuromodulation, that involve brain implants to then modulate and control these fits. So that's an example of an illness that needs to be demystified and can be tackled either with medication, and when it's intractable, meaning it is not curable by medication, then surgical modes can be used.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm actually thinking, as you're speaking right now, maybe just myths that we have also heard. What are on top of mind right now, just maybe two myths that you can debunk for us right now as a neurosurgeon, because you know it all. And we've read so many articles, some not verified, and we've ran with it.
I want to make a declaration.
Okay.
I don't know it all.
Okay. Oh, I'm putting so much pressure on you.
I'm learning every day.
There
are things I know and things I don't know. And the beautiful thing about science is that it's always changing.
That's something
you may take as a fact today, you can be told tomorrow, well, okay, that's not the case. So, for example, in the case of autism or certain things on the spectrum, people are now thinking that these are not actually anything that is an illness, there's nothing wrong. It's actually just a type of diversity. It's neurodiversity. It's a different type of brain. Children with dyslexia, children with autism, some forms of ADHD are not actually an illness. There's nothing wrong. We've been trying to treat them. But these are actually just a different set of people.
So you are the doctor that I need to contact. Reason being, I actually have two boys, twins. They are five now, twins. And they are autistic. They're on the spectrum.
Oh, wow.
Yes, diagnosed. I think around about... can't remember, probably over 2 years ago now, and it's been the hardest diagnosis to come to terms with. Like, every single day is a struggle. Like, yesterday, physically myself, I wasn't feeling well, and I had a little bit of an episode at work, and I just, like, passed out, and then I get home, and I still need to tend to them, and I completely forgotten that I also just had a really, you know, challenging day. So perhaps we probably need to have a conversation about that as well.
You're welcome.
I'm actually very curious to know, like, is there a treatment or is there a way to reverse it? Might be a silly question, but I hope you get what I mean.
Well, to go back to what I said initially, so it's not that it is an illness. It is that they are it's a form of diversity. It's almost like trying to cure someone's height or trying to cure someone's skin color. The other thing about autism is that those children or those people have superpowers. So when we understand and it is diagnosed, we can then work with it and negotiate through it. I think that is more of the approach we are taking today, as opposed to that it is an illness that needs to be cured. It's just a different type of person that needs to be dealt with to bring out what is best in them. They have their own gifts to give us as well.
That's true. And I remember, like, you know, having a lot of people give me advice and telling me, I don't know if you're familiar with the series The Doctor on Netflix.
I don't watch many medical shows.
Oh, you don't, is it? So the main character in the movie is also on the spectrum as well. And he was like, know, like the kids will just be just like him. He's an actual doctor, you know.
Oh, goodness.
So to anyone who's listening right now, who probably also is either a parent or probably even a caregiver of someone who might be on the spectrum, or probably a child that struggles with epilepsy, or they themselves struggle with it and so forth, where can they actually get the help, or what just final words would you want to leave with them?
Okay. Always the best place to start is with your whichever medical practitioner you have.
Yes,
so your GP, you know, your family doctor, your internist, your could be your nurse, could be your community nurse, whatever it is that you have access to, that is the person you need to see first.
Yeah.
Having seen them first, there's usually a referral tree, and they'll be sure to get you to the next step. Some things can be controlled with medication.
Yes, some things
don't need medication, and you need a wait-and-see approach depending on what it is.
Yeah.
And so they would then bump you up to, let's say, a neurologist if necessary, because that would not necessarily involve surgery. And then once a neurologist sees you, they may be able to treat you at that level. If it's something that is now surgical, you can then be referred further down. It could also be that they need rehabilitation. Then they would then be referred to a neuro rehabilitation specialist. So it all depends on the particular case, on the particular person, whether they need therapy, whether they don't, what type of therapy they would then need. So and it's multidisciplinary and integrative, and that's the other thing about the brain. It's just fascinating. The brain is our central unit, the CPU. It is command center. It deals with everything. It interacts with our environment. So it doesn't, it picks up everything, and it itself gives out everything that we use for ourselves as individuals. So care for the brain is multidisciplinary. As I said, from nutrition, you know, to exercise, you know, to challenging the brain to puzzles. It is important. For social interaction is important. Having friends or having, you know, a good network is important for the brain.
Yeah.
And avoidance of stress and having adequate, healthy amounts of stress. So it's all a balance.
When you say healthy amount of stress, what does that mean?
So there's a word called eustress. Eustress. And for instance, if you play a sport, you're stressing your body. But that's a good stress, because you're building up certain things, right? And when you're playing, when you're doing a crossword, it's a mini stress, but it's a stress because you're challenging yourself.
That's true.
So that's what. So there's eustress. That's sort of good stress or normalish stress.
Eustress. Yeah.
And as opposed to getting, you know, like the negative and the overwhelming stress, which then leads to burnout. But you did mention something earlier, which I want you to address.
Okay.
You mentioned passing out, and I hope you got help.
Yes, I did.
And you took care of that.
Yes, because I did.
As they say on airplanes, if anything happens and the oxygen goes low, the parent must, or the ones who are able, must always put the oxygen mask on themselves first before they attempt to help anybody. So, you know, don't...
I forgot that one yesterday.
Never neglect yourself, especially as a parent. You must first take care of yourself so that you are available to take care of everyone who depends on you.
Word for the day for me. So to anyone who's listening right now, how can we just be a part of the movement? How can we be a part of the brain and nervous system community, if you will?
Right. So Brain Awareness Week, again, is about understanding about your brain and having healthy brains. One of the first things I want us all to think about is, what is the word for brain in our local language, in our traditional language? Some of us don't even know. So during this exercise, we've met people who don't know the word for brain in their own language. I see you looking at this guy. Case in point. So first of all, what is the word for brain? And do we have any sayings about the brain? And we should share that. And know the word first, and let's share that. For this first activity with Brain Awareness Week,
that's
a good start for us.
For us,
what are we even dealing with? Then getting from there, we can now talk about the different illnesses, and that they're not actually mysterious. They're actually organic. And that there might be treatments for some of them. And other things are not actually illnesses. They're a question of diversity.
So
we will be generating different forms of information that we will share. And we will share them with you as well.
Okay,
and the general public can access those and share them you know, far and wide.
Where can they access them, though?
You can access them on our LinkedIn, our Facebook. There's Benguela Neuroscience Institute, and it is under the auspices of that that we were able to interact with the Dana Alliance and with the International Brain Research Organization. And so even the Dana Foundation as well, they have a brain awareness page as well with a lot of material. And we will also be generating material, and we are generating material. We had our launch on Monday,
and we had
people from different language groups stating what the word was in their local language
For
brain. And somebody had a saying, the lady from Kavango, I think she had said that without the brain, there is no person.
Mm.
And I mean, that is true.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so that's the first step for us. And as we put on this activity year in, year out, we hope to grow in the activity.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we'll be putting on a neuroscience event for health practitioners, trying to put together a group of like-minded individuals who are all interested in neuroscience and want to promote brain science.
Yeah.
And we hope to then try to work with whoever is a friend of neuroscience and is interested, and those who hold the keys to the solutions for the population, for our population.
Absolutely.
As far as policy making, as far as service provision in terms of neuroscience.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Dr. Aminata Yenda, how do you pronounce your surname?
Aminata Yande Sala Chirongo. Yande is my middle name.
Oh, is that so?
And my last name is hyphenated. Sala is my own maiden last name.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
My husband's last name is Chirongo.
Yeah,
so
Chirongo.
It's hyphenated.
We have to
Sala
mention
Chirongo.
That. Chirongo. Yes, we cannot forget about
that's
it,
why
right?
That's my Namibian last
yeah,
name.
Yeah, oh, okay. Fantastic. Dr. Aminata, thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you for having
for pouring
me.
Into our cups this morning
thank
and
you.
Educating us. And I promise I will put on the mask on me first. So that everyone that depends on me is also well taken care of. We wish you nothing but the best, and obviously we're going to get the links and then share it with all the listeners as well, so they can access the information.
Yes, if I may, I'd like to thank our sponsors and partners. Nedbank is one of our sponsors.
Oh,
the Dana Alliance is also one of our sponsors.
Yes,
we have UNAM, which is one of our partners. We have Lighthouse, Hope Foundation, and After School Program, and also Trust Care Medical, and that's also involved with us.
Yeah.
And we wanted to thank all our partners and sponsors.
Absolutely.
As well as yourselves for having us here.
No,
Fresh
happy
FM.
To have you here.
Thank you
so much. And
we're
that
honored.
Is a Brain and Nervous System Awareness Week. Have the conversations, read up on it, and let it just not end here.
Investment jargon got you down?